Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are going to be talking about gory, violent, horrendous games. I'm joined in the studio by Bardia and Tom. Guys, do you have a favorite gory, violent game?
Dead Space.
Dead Space. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Bardia?
I would say...
Everyday Life. Okay, look, well, let's save it for the rest of the show, then. We are going to be talking about that. We're going to be reviewing Gears of War Ultimate Edition. We're going to be talking about Metal Gear Solid. We're going to be talking about just a whole bunch of things. Lots of things. That's on Tutorial's only gaming show, Big Head Mode. That's right, you're on Big Head Mode. We're here to talk to you about video games. Tom, thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Bardia, also, thank you for coming in.
I'm beside myself.
There we go.
My mic is now on.
I was a little bit worried that Bardia's mic stopped working just as the show started.
No, we're good. We're sorted.
Great.
Radio.
Great. Okay, guys.
One job.
You had one job.
So not mess that up.
How are you both doing?
Pretty good, you know?
I know why you're good, Bardia, because you, in your hot little hands, have a copy of
Metal Gear Solid. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I've got to be honest, and I'm man enough to do this live on the radio.
I'm very glad.
I made a lot of fun about Metal Gear Solid 5, mm-hmm. teasing you specifically
yes.
about how confusing that entire series is.
Yes.
Obviously, I don't take back the latter part. But Metal Gear Solid 5 is a great game.
Fantastic.
I'm having a lot of fun.
When are we reviewing?
It's hard. It's a big game. It's a big game. Either next week, the week after,
Ooh,
we'll figure it out.
Stay tuned.
Tomorrow.
So oh, God, no.
Get playing, buddy. No. It is a big game. I've just been doing a lot of side missions.
Yeah.
Or side...
The side ops.
Yeah, side ops.
Yeah.
And
I had side ops last night.
I'd done maybe 7 of them, and I glanced down and was like, oh, 7 of 156.
Yeah, there's a lot. And they get... Some of them are ridiculous. Like... It's ridiculous. Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't played it.
I think I was saying last week on the show, because I'd played Ground Zero and not this one, obviously.
Yeah.
And my problem with Ground Zero was just the whole, like, AI is not amazing, and when you screw up stealth, it's just a matter of, like, shooting everyone badly. But anyway,
yeah.
I feel like this game, there's more tools at your disposal, too. It has more of that, like,
I feel like
improvise. When stuff goes wrong, it's like... Do you run away and hide somewhere?
Yeah.
Do you have plans for it?
Do you switch and just go all out, guns blazing?
Yeah.
But it's also like they had way more time to make this game.
Yeah.
You know, Ground Zeroes was a very small part of an overall package.
I still think Ground Zeroes shouldn't have been...
it wasn't meant to be.
Shouldn't have cost anything.
No.
It should have just been like a playable prequel demo.
Like I would have paid like $5 for it and been happy. Like I would have happily paid...
How much was it? Like $20?
$40.
No, it wasn't really.
I bought it the day it came out for $40. Yeah.
That's absurd.
That was the day it came out.
That
it
is
might
absolutely
be,
absurd.
Yeah, mental. And
okay,
it
that's it. I've gone back the other way.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah,
jump
what a
off
bunch of shit.
No. I've enjoyed it a lot. It's it is hard to describe how the just the weirdness of that
yeah.
game clicks with you,
especially to someone who doesn't maybe know that it's a really weird game, because it may seem very it's very serious in tone and like themes and stuff like that. But it is very wacky. I mean, you get a chicken hat if you mess up too many times, and the chicken hat...
Yeah, you can choose to wear the chicken hat,
yeah.
which makes all the missions easier, but,
yeah.
but you have to wear a chicken
wear
hat.
A chicken hat. And it tells you that. It's like, and
yeah.
you will just be wearing a chicken hat and won't get a good rating.
So comparing this to Metal Gear Solid 4, which was my main experience with the franchise, it's way better at... Like, the drama
yeah.
makes sense, and, I mean, the whole premise with it... I mean, this isn't a review, so I don't want to go into too much detail. But basically, your big boss, and he's woken up from a coma.
Yep.
And that works brilliantly as an entry point for the series if you're a newcomer, because it gives them a perfect excuse to just give you the like sort of explain a lot of things
mm-hmm.
again. You get all these cassette tapes that you can go back and listen to, which is just Kiefer Sutherland, who plays Big Boss, having a conversation with Ocelot about what I've missed, all the stuff that happens,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a really great way to get all of the exposition on what's happened to the series. So you hear, like, so at will, you can, you know, you're roaming Afghanistan, you can just click a button and just get all the backstory.
Yep.
It's so much better than watching, like, those YouTube 5-minute Prime videos.
Recap videos?
Yeah.
Oh, because God. That doesn't... I watched one of those and just ended up more confused.
Yeah. Some of those are way more complicated than they really need to be.
Especially because it seems like Metal Gear Solid jumps all over the place chronologically.
Yeah, and also doesn't make any damn sense.
Well, that, and then you're like, wait a minute, wait, sorry, what?
Who are you?
Mind control? What's going on there?
Nanobots? What?
Yeah. Well, wait till the first 30 minutes of this one, buddy.
I'm very excited.
There's some stuff that... baffling.
Fantastic.
Totally baffling.
I cannot wait.
I need to talk about it with someone, but I can't post about it on social media because it's a spoiler, but it is a baffling spoiler.
You know, I have some stuff we're going to do this afternoon, and then after that, I'm going to go home, play it, and I'm going to let you...
I know you're not, because I hit the disc.
Oh, no.
That's an empty box.
That's a problem. That's, yeah. Oh, it's very well shrink-wrapped. Well done.
Yeah, and how about you, Tommy? You been playing anything at all?
I've been playing a Match 3 game. Okay. You know, like those Bejeweled sort of style thing?
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that... the thing that really gets me is, like, I've been playing so much that when I close my eyes, I see the patterns.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It used to happen to me with Guitar Hero.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just, you know, you'd close your eyes and you'd just see winding, colourful roads of notes you have to hit.
It happened to me with 2048, that iPhone game.
Right.
I ended up seeing
it. It happened to me with Fallout Shelter. I got all my flatmates pregnant, and
and it was uncomfortable
and
for everybody.
Kept them hidden in an underground bunker.
Yeah.
So
I'm a monster. Yeah. I'm a monster.
Yeah,
you're a monster.
I'm so sorry. That game had a really, really small shelf life.
I did not like it. I played it recently. I only just yesterday uninstalled it because I did not give a shit about that game.
It did not take long for you to go, okay, I see what's going on here. Cool.
Also, I was terrible at it. Like, everybody in my shelter hated me. Everybody. I had an approval rating of 12%. Shut up,
surprises,
Tom.
No one.
Shut up, Thomas. Yeah.
Come on, Tom. Come on, man.
Like,
Tom.
Fish in a barrel there.
Tom. Yeah, I know, mate. Come on. I mean, we've got to aim higher. We've got to aim for better.
Highbrow comedy.
I mean, I know, sure, we're not aiming too high because Barty is at the show.
But hey.
Zing.
Zing.
Moving on.
So sad.
The other game I've been playing is Mad Max. Have you seen the reviews for Mad Max?
You say it's so weird, Ben. You put the emphasis on Max.
What, Mad Max?
Mad Max. No, you put the emphasis on the top of Mad. Instead of Mad Max, you say Mad Max.
Mad Max. Oh, I say Mad Max.
Mad Max.
He says Mad Max.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little hangover from Mighty Max. Mighty Max? Was that his name? The little toys? It was a little... Back in the 90s.
Mighty Mouse?
No, Mighty Max. He was
Mighty Mouse was dope.
He was a tiny little...
Can we talk about Mighty Mouse instead?
Sorry.
It's more interesting than whatever you're about
Hang on.
To say.
Why do you say Mighty Mouse and not Mighty Mouse?
Because he's not a lunatic.
Yeah.
But that's...
Oh, actually...
You're just arguing.
No, but it makes sense.
Anyway, Mad Max.
Anyway, Mad Max.
But you're all mad. In the world of Mad Max, everyone's mad. So this is just Mad Max.
They're also all Max.
Mad Max. No, then what?
Yeah.
What? Anyway,
isn't that why it's an apocalypse? Every mother named their son Max.
Maybe. Oh, I mean, there is a theory that Max isn't the same Max in every movie.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
Okay. That's good talk.
I don't
guys.
Like the way you pronounce words.
Yeah, I don't like you anymore. How is it? Is it good?
I think it's good. I mean, I think it's...
What are we talking about?
It's Matt.
Mad Max.
Oh, shut up. It's nothing groundbreaking. Mm. You know, and if you look at the reviews, it's getting a mix of reviews and then just some shocking reviews. But Kotaku were like, don't play it.
But a lot of other people were like, it's pretty good. Like, I mean, it's getting like eights and stuff, like around...
I would say that it... Did you ever play Shadow of Mordor?
With video game reviews, eight is like a four.
Yeah, I mean, an eight on IGN is...
I'll play an 8. I'll play the hell out of an 8.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's fine, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's the main...
Ben stamp approval. It's fine. To be honest, like, it's fine. Honestly, end of the day.
But that's what it's like. It's fun. It's a game that once you finish, you probably won't play again.
Mm.
But it's fun.
Mm. How's the nemesis system?
That's the thing. It doesn't have a nemesis system. Shadow of Mordor, I think, was probably a weaker game than this one, except it had that one hook that was different.
Interesting.
So I think this is a better open world game than Shadow of Mordor, except it just doesn't... There's no one thing you point to and go, well, this is a thing that no other game has ever done.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah.
Or not interesting, as the case may be.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah.
It's a comfortable seven.
I mean, it's also weird because, like...
That's the party line.
Because Mad Max is one of those franchises that you kind of, like, you know, a lot of people like.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily chomping at the bit for it. I don't have, like, rabid fandom attached to it. So this game isn't an affront to anything. It's just, it's fun, you know. There are a couple of things that I kind of like. I mean, the guy who plays Max is a little bit too, Struth, let's go over there and kick that guy
He's
in the gonads.
So Australian.
But, like, whereas... You kind of like, I want my Max to be a bit more like...
Brooding.
A bit more brooding.
A bit more like
halfway
Batman.
Halfway between Tom Hardy's Max and then, I guess, Mel Gibson's. Because Tom Hardy was a bit, he was off the wall. He was like, Max, my name's Max. He was a little crazy, which I guess is great. But you just want someone to be like, who are you, stranger? And he'd be like, name's Max.
Yeah. Ben, you should do it.
Don't look me in the eyes, you're a bloody kill, your son.
Oh, maybe not.
Cool.
Or is this guy, he just sounds a little bit too normal Australian.
All right, well, let's bloody go and do some bloody killing.
Then Boy, bloody... you guys chill out here. I'll be back in a tick.
Yeah, no bloody
I've got
worries.
A couple of things I just got a couple of things on the old Barbie. Hey.
We'll come back and have a bloody great time.
No, it's fun, but then you also realise too how much other games are borrowed so heavily from Mad Max, and which is such a shame that things feel slightly less unique. Like, bandits in Mad Max, it's just Borderlands.
Yeah.
Psychos. Except in this, like, it doesn't have the personality or the attitude of Borderlands, so it's kind of, you go, oh, it's a shame that, you know, something that's been around for so long is getting trumped by Borderlands.
And it's also got that Arkham combat system as well, like the... counter with one button and then...
Some people hate it when games just copy things from other franchises.
If it works.
It works in this. I'm happy with that, you know? It's sometimes... Some parts of it feel a little bit like the Tomb Raider reboot. Some parts feel a bit Batman.
Both great games.
The world is great. Like, I quite like the world. So, yeah, you know. Don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. That's all I'm saying.
Great.
Let's go to some music. This is Hope Runs Deep from Gears of War 2.
Oh. I thought it was...
There you go. You feel like a bit of a dick now, don't you,
buddy? I messed up.
Then we're going to come back after this and talk about some news. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Welcome back. Welcome back. That was Hope Runs Deep, and boy, it sure did.
Yes, it did.
I am so full of hope, guys.
I am touched.
You are, buddy. I've often thought that.
Walked into that one.
You sure
Come
did.
On. Come on.
This keeps happening to me.
News. First things. First cab off the bloody rank.
Oh, what do we got,
Since
Benjamin?
We were talking about Metal Gear Solid, I thought this was really cool. And I sort of suspected this would happen when I started playing the game. Early on, it gives you a chance to put in an avatar name and a birth date. And I thought, I wonder if there's anything that happens when you put your birthday in. What happens when you play on your birthday? And some guy's birthday was on September 2nd, so he put it in. He's uploaded the video online. You get called into Mother Base, like, immediately. Like, oh, we've got this urgent thing, Snake. We need you to come here at once. And you show up, and it triggers a cutscene. Everything's quiet, and you walk in, and you look around. And then you hear this, surprise! And fireworks start going. And a birthday song that isn't Happy Birthday to save copyright starts playing, and they like wheel out a cake, and your whole crew are like, give you a cake. Yeah, it's amazing. This whole cutscene. Obviously, it was added in later because Miller and Ocelot are there, and neither of them talk. Occasionally, you just hear one of them go, ha 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 ha.
How long does it come? How long does it last?
Oh, it's like 2.5-3 minutes.
Holy shit.
You get a whole cutscene. It's amazing.
That's awesome. Man, I really want my birth. Can I, like, fake it? And have
I really want... Yeah, you can. You totally
I'm
going to
fake
can.
It. I'm just going to have my birthday the day I start playing that game. Yeah, before I even start it, the cutscene's going to play. Make it, like, maybe, like, myself.
The day later, maybe. Just so you can get there. Because it'd suck if you said it was today and then missed it. Because you didn't get the base until afterwards.
That's true. It's very true.
Mm. Mm.
Interesting.
See, although
I just want Kojima to wish me happy birthday. That's all I've ever wanted.
Can you change the date?
Yeah, then Kojima walks out and goes, hey.
Hey.
What's cracking?
How are you? Tell me about you.
Can you change the date on Xbox once? Like used to be able to do on
PC. Yeah, but this isn't based on the actual... This is based on the birthday you put in the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can game it the same way you can.
But I'm saying if you miss the base, then go back and...
No, because it's not based... Tom, I literally just explained this to you.
Thomas.
It's not based on the Xbox's date. It's an
How does
in-game
it know
thing.
The date then?
You put it
you
in
put
game.
It in. It tells you. I just said this.
In game.
No, but how does it know today's date?
Okay, I'm done with this.
Okay, let's move on. Next story, Tom's an idiot.
But what if you want a date on Saturday night?
All right. Here's a bit of news that no one saw coming. Deadpool is getting a PS4 and Xbox One remaster.
The game. Really? The game came out.
Did that even sell? Did that do well? Four copies?
Is that in demand?
Yeah, probably. It sold. I mean, you know.
Is that any good?
I guess.
You played it.
That was my review.
It's kind of like Mad Max.
It was funny, but yeah, all right. Cool.
There were bits you
that
like
would have ran the game to reboot. There's so many other games I'd want to have rebooted.
Well, I mean, why do you think, Bardia? Why do you think Activision?
Oh, well, okay, mate, because the film's coming out.
Yeah, exactly. That's purely the only reason that Activision.
But I want a Deadpool
because they have this game. They're like, and bear in mind, this is the same company who re-released Prototype 1 and 2 for Xbox One and PS4.
Cool.
Without telling anyone.
Great. Wait, they re-released those games for Xbox One?
Yeah, it just showed up on the marketplace. Everyone's like, what?
How great would a Rocksteady Deadpool game be?
Yeah, how great would a Rocksteady ... insert beloved franchise here
Batman. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they could try Batman.
It's just such a bizarre, like, it's a second Activision.
Maybe Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Max, Tom, all right? It was basically Polly Pocket for boys. Why has no one heard of it?
Because we're not three.
No, but I was in the 90s party.
I never was. I skipped it. I went from 2 to 4.
Tom, I don't think you ever moved on from that. Okay, let's move on to something the body can understand, all right, with this tiny little brain box.
You're so rude to that.
He is. He's so surly.
He's so angry.
I'm
super surly.
Ben, you're so surly.
Ace Attorney 6 just announced. Did you hear about that party?
I did. I saw about it yesterday. Yesterday.
And you're Phoenix Wright again, which I'm happy with, rather than some weird like B-list.
Yeah, because the last two, you're a B-lister, and then in the last one that came out in Japan, you were some random dude working with Sherlock Holmes.
You're an ancestor. You're one of the Wright ancestors who apparently hung out with Sherlock Holmes.
So weird. It's so Japanese.
Yeah, and I love the idea that Sherlock Holmes was the, you know, 18th century... Detective Gumshoe.
Yeah.
For anyone who's played Gumshoe, he's a dumb cop.
He's very stupid. He's my favorite character.
Yeah, he's great.
I'm so excited. Ace Attorney 6. I still have to play Dual Destinies.
Yeah, which is the one where you play his son, correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah. But he's in it as well.
Yeah. Well, he's like the head of the law firm.
Yeah.
He's like the wise law firm. Hey, let me teach you a thing or two. It's like, what are you? You're an idiot.
You're stupid.
What do you know? You've never taken a client that wasn't guilty. No, that was guilty.
Was guilty. Did you play the one with Leighton? Like the
no. Well, I've never
finished
played
that.
I've never played any of the Leighton games.
Great.
So I've got to work through that series before I can get to the. It's like the Marvel Universe. You know?
It sort of
I've got to watch all the solo films before I can watch the Avengers.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. It's great. You'd love it.
Yeah. You know, we don't know many details about this. Apparently, there's a playable demo coming out like in a few weeks.
Oh.
You can download.
In Japan, though, right?
I don't know.
Probably.
This is coming to the West, though, this game.
Yeah, but it'll take like 3 years. It always does.
I read that next year. Western release.
Dude, that's dope. That's great.
Yeah, super dope.
I'm all about that.
Yeah, you are.
I like the West.
It is weird that Japanese games don't like launch here, at least digitally. Like, I don't understand what the...
I don't know what it is. Like, because I'm a big fan of the Yakuza series. And that game, like, Yakuza 5 was out before they'd even released Yakuza 4 in the West.
Yeah.
It's something to do with, like, translations and demand, and they're just not sure, you know, our culture, you know, going to be into a highly Japanese sort of stylized game. So I think that there's a lot of that going on, but Yakuza...
I also thought it was baffling, though, because, I mean, that is one of the main selling points, I know, for a lot of people, to get a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Is because it does have that wealth of Japanese games.
Totally.
And RPGs and things that you just don't get on, you know, an Xbox.
Yeah. I don't know why it takes so long for it to get localized. There must be a legitimate reason for it that we just don't know about. Because we're stupid.
That we could probably, like, Google right now.
No.
Well, I can assume that it's money. Like, they just probably don't want to put everything out here unless there's a precedent.
Demand for it, yeah.
Or they can say, we know it's going to sell.
It's like what happened with Shenmue. I mean, the reason they never made the third one is because they weren't convinced it was going to make money.
Also, you release it in Japan, it gets highly praised, it builds up hype overseas, and then you know, okay, well, I can re-release it.
And what does well in Japan may not do well here. In a lot of cases, it doesn't. And what does well here sometimes, in a lot of cases, does really poorly in Japan.
Okay, Bardia, we get it, all right?
All right, everyone back up. Everyone back up. All right.
Hey, speaking of terrible things.
That's what horses eat.
Wish we weren't, but we are now. Did you guys see the Deus Ex special pre-order snafu?
So stupid. Ouch. So stupid.
Yeah. What? I mean, so for people who haven't seen it, the Deus Ex Mankind Divided game that's coming out early next year has this pre-order augmentation program, or whatever they're calling it. Augment your pre-order. And basically, it's like a... It's like, you know, those global challenge things that you get in a lot of games now where it's like, you know, when a million people have done this one thing in-game, mm-hmm. it unlocks this. Mm-hmm. It's like this for pre-orders. So there's five tiers. Tier one, you get alternate costumes. Tier two, there's sort of in-game stuff. Tier three, an extra mission. Tier four, more stuff. And then tier five, you get the game four day early release.
Like, and you only go up tiers if enough people pre-order.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
It's so stupid.
How gross is that?
That's
it's
just makes like, me so uncomfortable.
It makes me feel just real dirty.
I don't really agree, actually, with all the controversy surrounding this, because it's... I mean, with something like this, when it's a one-time offer, the bar will be set so low that it'll be reached. I mean, it's really just a marketing tool. So what we're seeing here is just the same pre-order junk repackaged in a different way. And I think I mean, I haven't pre-ordered anything in a very long time.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys have either.
No.
But, you know, just having this reminds us how dirty and annoying that whole
That's a good point.
But that's the thing. Like, for any other game, you'd just get all of those things.
Yeah.
But for this, it's like, you only get one thing.
Oh, yeah, but it's
you
like
don't get the rest unless you get all your friends to also do this.
But what also pisses me off are the pre-order bonuses that are, like, specific to places. Like, Target has this bonus. Thingo has that bonus.
Yeah.
You know, that irritates me as well. Like,
And then not only that, but say you are super diligent, like I was with one of the Batman Arkham Knight, I think it was, or maybe one of the Ubisoft games, and I bought the season pass.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the collector's edition.
Oh, yeah.
And then like, a part of the content in the season pass is stuff that you already got for the collector's edition.
Yeah.
And, well, that, is, like, it might be a small thing, but it's enough to make the season pass not worth what you spent.
I want to tell everybody...
Margins on those are always so tiny anyway.
Yeah. I just want to tell everyone who plays games to never buy the season pass. I think it's such a stupid thing, because how many times have you been, because I know you like doing it, buying a season pass, and then none of the content that comes out for that game is, like, good. Like, it worthy of you spending the $30 to get the season pass.
My rule from now on with season passes is I only ever get it for Telltale games, because obviously...
You want them all, yeah.
any of those episodic games where you're like, well, I'm going to play all the episodes, there's... No point in buying them individually.
That's fair.
And they've got such a great track record for quality.
You would also never just play episode one of something. If you were going to buy episode one, you're going to buy the other five as well.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Maybe even then, you know, I suppose I could wait until they're cheaper later on.
Because, I mean, the season pass is never going to go away from the store.
No.
So if you know...
But at its core, like, I at least know that will deliver.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I will do, which is still a risk, but if it's a multiplayer game... And I know that I'm going to play all of the DLC maps. And it has been a while since I've done that. But I know that, like, when a Halo game would come out, we'd go, well, we're going to play Halo.
Remember that time you bought the season pass for Titanfall?
How'd
that go?
I downloaded it all. Never played it.
No, of course not.
But I think that's when I stopped.
The game was cool.
Also, on Battlefield 4, I got the, you know, Battlefield Premium as well.
See, it's not worth it. It never works out.
It's just like... If you know that it's going to come with real care... Like, Bungie, I bought their expansion pass. And I would have bought all the DLC, so I don't regret that for Destiny. If it's a developer that you sort of know they're going to look after me...
I think even still, because the practice is just so bad industry-wide, we shouldn't be supporting it at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it has been a long time since I pre-ordered. And you know what? Like, I've just taken to not pre-ordering, but just going up and picking it up on day one.
Yeah.
And every time, they'll just give me the DLC anyway. They'll go, oh, look, here you go.
Yeah.
I got the day one edition of Metal Gear Solid without pre-ordering it. And when you have to pre-order it, like, I mean, when you want to pre-order that, it's because they drill in, you know, get this limited edition, this thing won't exist again, da-da-da-da, which is just not true. They have so many leftover codes in the stores, they'll end up re-releasing it as some sort of digital stuff.
When was the last time you went in and a game wasn't available? I mean, for me, it was probably Halo 3.
When was the last time you got some sort of day one DLC that legitimately affected your game or changed your experience in any recognizable way? I couldn't tell you what DLC came with my day one Metal Gear Solid. No. I mean, you know. There we go. Problem solved.
And done.
This is Hanover's favorite son from Gears of War 3. We'll be back after this to talk violent games.
Rough Diablo.
Here we go.
And what more appropriate sound effect to start a conversation on violent games than what sounds like Mario with a chainsaw?
Perfect.
Violent games, it's a thing I've wanted to talk about for a little while, and I've been waiting for a good game to chat about it. I want to talk about gory games, violent games, just anything that's got real chunky gore headshot, just any game that makes this noise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
I want to get all up in that game.
Typically, Manhunt.
No, I didn't actually. I might have played like 10 minutes of it at an internet cafe once upon a time. But
oh, remember those?
The Rockstar game.
Yeah, like
actually, no, I played Manhunt 2.
Also, a Rockstar game.
Electric Boogaloo. They were pretty full on.
They were so messed up. Like I was way too young to be even like watching someone play that game.
You're still too young.
Yeah. Barney,
I'm an adult, you have it. You know.
Kid little boy.
Where's your minder?
I'm...
We actually made his speeches.
It's so bad.
It is, but I think being young is a good point because it's to me, and maybe it's just the fact that I grew up with video games, so realistic violence kind of really improved as I got older. But I feel like it's the first violent games that you see that always stay with you. Mortal Kombat, like some of the first violent stuff I've seen. In fact, I think maybe one of the, there was like an Alien vs Predator game, like a very early 2D.
Yeah.
And just seeing a skinned body, but a pixelated skinned body was...
And also you were six. Hey.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
That as well.
Terrifying.
I remember playing Gears of War 3 and, you know, I mean, I was, 19 when that came out? And still feeling that I wasn't mature enough to watch some of the gore in that game.
I'm just going to do a real quick Google. All right, keep talking.
Is Gears of War 3 really... Was that really that?
No, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
No. Would it
have been 20 or something. I found, when you rip a guy's arm off and beat him with it...
Mate, Gears of War 3 was 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, 22. That's what I said.
Oh, my God. You're an adult. And I'm the child here. You mother me. Are you going to be okay for the rest of the show? Are you going to...
Okay, all right. Both of you. Neither
like
of you came here supervised, and so I'm worried.
I tied my own shoelaces up today.
I'm very proud of
your shoelaces.
That's a good point, though, because I remember a better comparison to them, I think, to make is the first time you or I played the original Gears of War.
Yeah.
Because the two things that were super gory in that game, of course, were chainsawing people.
Mm-hmm.
And just the texture of it and just the, whoa, just how visceral it was.
The
and just
sound.
Feeling like you could just run up and be like, ah! And the fact your character screams while he does it. He goes, ah! And like, saws through them. That, and also...
the headshots.
Curb stomps. Just that... I mean, that's a game that gets my noise approval because it has that...
Oh, yeah. Well, Dead Space is another one that has really good sound, like sound effects when it comes to like
stomping bodies in Dead Space is the most cathartic thing you can do in any game.
But the sound effect they use is just like hitting a wet towel with a slab of meat. Like it's just incredible.
I think the way that Dead Space uses gore is really interesting and it is cathartic because you feel so tense because of these monsters. You're so afraid of them.
Yeah.
And then you get to turn the tables and just mutilate their dead bodies.
I think it's very difficult to kill an enemy in Dead Space and not spend 10 minutes just stomping on the...
Because it's what you would do in real life. Yeah. You'd be like, you make sure that thing is dead.
Although it's... the gore
you
that...
You can't hurt anybody anymore.
I still feel like... I haven't played a game that's done really realistic gore damage. Like, have you noticed in those games, it's always... head just completely disappears.
Oh, yeah, there's no middle ground.
In fact, I remember the first time I ever saw a headshot. I mean, like a headless headshot. It might have been in GTA 3.
Oh.
And then the first time it happens when you snipe a guy's head off and it's like they sort of like stumble around and blood squirts out of their neck stump and you're like, oh my God, did that. If you go back and look at it now,
it's
so polygon sort of heavy that... Head just totally disappears, which from one bullet, which would never happen. And then the next stump is like just a little teepee of like pointy neck angle. Like it's just but the graphics like, just do not do it.
That's
justice.
A really good one to bring up because I remember when I did that for the first time in GTA, that was a moment that stuck with me. I was like, oh, that's horrifying. I just did that too. Like that's I'm too young for this.
Yeah. But I think like I mean have
you
guys...
22, mine, but
have you guys seen the any of the fatalities from the recent Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
What makes that apart from the fact that it's just highly realistic
it makes me uncomfortable.
Depictions of violence, what makes it so much more shocking, I think, is that it's not clean. Like we're so desensitized from games to heads getting cut off, arms getting cut off, like big limbs, that game it won't cut a character's head off. It cuts, like, the top half of their head off. So you see, like, the bottom of their jaw and their tongue lolling around. Like, they really sort of, like, they go... They really subvert your expectations.
Yeah, totally. And it's all, like, sometimes the fatalities are so slow and drawn out that you're like, I have to not look at this because I feel like it's actually going to affect me. I have to look away. I'm going to look away.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, something. Yeah. They get... That's too much.
It's too much.
To me. Like, it's not the fun sort of visceral display of chainsawing someone. It's the kind of... Like murder where afterwards you go, oh,
I feel uncomfortable.
I'm really sorry.
I really apologize.
I should contact Sub-Zero's family now because
send them a gift basket.
Yeah,
your son. Yeah, one he's just 2 feet now.
One of
no, he's just half of 1 foot.
Yeah, and a tongue.
And a tongue. one of the first games that I played that was really violent. Turok 2. Do you guys play Turok 2? There was a gun in that called Cerebral Bore. And it sort of auto aimed in on the head of the enemy. It fired it. It fired at like a little nanobot that drilled into their brain, and the enemy just kind of stood there going while like red and like gray sort of mush just sort of poured out of their head, and then their head exploded and they died.
It's pretty cool. What about do you guys ever play Syndicate?
No, I played the remake
the new one. Yeah, the one that was banned in this country. Like, that was gory. That was, like, there's a thing where, there are, like, chips inside people's heads or whatever, and he drills into their heads, and the little arm goes into their brain, like, pulls. It's messed up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's that scene in the train where he just kills the random people, like, the innocent people. Oh, that game was messed up.
One of the games that...
Sorry, I just like... Right.
Barty's got PTSD, dude.
One of the games that was quite exciting at E3 was Doom, the Doom remake.
Which was it?
I thought... Well, at least from a gore perspective, I thought it was a pretty boring looking game. But
good sound effects.
The gore was, That's okay. So I don't know. There's something about gore. I prefer it when I'm with someone else. I like it when I'm playing
you like
split
going,
screen with someone.
It's like it's, oh yeah. It's really sad and humbling when you like you pull off a gory headshot in a game and go oh
dude
and there's no one else there.
Yeah.
You sort of look around the room and go
I'm so lonely.
This is tragic. Someone please get me counseling. Yeah, this is not good.
I should go to the gym.
I've been and we'll talk about this just next. So we should wrap up here. I've been playing Gears of War with Tegan, my flatmate, and. She'd never played Gears of War before.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just loving rediscovering the headshots with the sniper rifle in that game.
The long shot. Long shot.
Best headshots in any game.
Mm.
And it gets even better in later Gears. Remember in Gears 3? Like, they pop out from cover and you get the headshot and their body kind of stays there.
Yeah.
Just like bleeding from its neck wound for a little bit before it collapses.
They got gunplay right in that game, man. Like, we'll talk about it later, but they got it right in that game. Headshots in... We're digressing now, but headshots in Uncharted, when it make the ding sound every time you did it, that to me was like... That was me. It was like, I did a good thing. I've nailed it. Yeah.
Look, let's go to some more music and we'll talk, keep this conversation going with our Gears of War review.
Mm.
It's Gears of War Medley by the Blake Robertson Synthetic Orchestra. Welcome back. Let's keep that chat going now.
Let's do it.
Gears of War. And it just then...
What's your judgment?
Just the... wrong game, Tom. Wrong game.
Also, terrible game.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, that's all we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, which as you
I thought I was just here to derail you.
Shut up, Tom. I just wanted to throw something at Tom. Something heavy.
I was going to make a fat joke.
As you two both discovered, partly because of your own ignorance, but the Ultimate Edition is just the first game, a remastered version of the first game.
That's so bizarre to me. I thought, I don't know why, I thought it was all three, because I haven't been here for the last 2 months, so I haven't known anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that before it came out, buddy. I mean, you can make all the excuses you want to. The fact is, you didn't know. No, you didn't do your bloody homework.
I didn't bloody know. I didn't.
It seems weird to mark it down for that, but that, I feel like that's almost my biggest problem with what? It.
Is that it doesn't have the other two?
It's just that as much as I love this game, and if you're a fan of Gears of War, it's as great as it ever was. Better, because it's in 60 frames per second. All the cutscenes have been redone, so it looks super slick. It just looks great.
Is it built on a different engine? Or is it same engine that the first one was on?
Same engine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's Unreal.
You're Unreal. Damn it.
Thanks, buddy.
Damn it.
But it's hard to, as much as I enjoy it, it's hard to just forget the better versions of that game that I've already played, you know?
The other two.
Gears 1 is still great, but it also grew a lot. And, you know, when an enemy goes down, I miss being able to pick a weapon and choose what execution I want to do.
Yeah.
Like from Gears 3.
Gears 3 was like...
Only having two-player co-op, you know?
Yeah. Gears 3 was great, though. Like, it was the best that game has ever been, and it hasn't been as good since.
And I think, it's evidenced in this game, considering that the multiplayer is just... Gears 3's multiplayer.
Has it been nice, though, going back and, like, revisiting that story?
Yeah, totally. And it's amazing to me how much of the story just is still with me. Mm. Like, you know, when you... Early on in the game, when you're heading to the car station to pick up the car from Franklin, the stranded dude, you run into a few characters along the way that I've completely forgotten about, but the moment I stumbled upon them, I remembered almost every line of dialogue, like, before they said it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the really surly gas station attendant who's like, oh, you don't brought all these locusts down to my damn gas station.
That's right. Everyone's... I totally forgot about that. Oh, that's right, and that was the bit where there were, like, the bat things, and you had to, like,
krill.
Get the light, the krill.
Yeah. Mm. Still awful.
That bit terrified me. I hated that bit.
Yeah. I was playing with Tegan last night, and she didn't know what was coming with the krill thing.
Did she walk out in the darkness?
No. I just went, hey, Tegan, look at this. Took a step backwards and then just let the krill devour me, and I just exploded in front of her. It was great.
Playing co-op with you, it's just always...
Always something to do.
Hey, look at this.
Hey,
look
at this. It's been great exposing Tegan to this game for the first time, because it's just helped me remember all the things that were just great and stuff that... I mean, it's hard to look at these games with perspective when you played them so much originally and think, how much of this is still relevant today? And
does it still hold up?
How much is nostalgia?
Yeah. And so Tegan died a lot earlier on the first level when I remember doing the same, because, I mean, it is very...
Different,
especially coming from, like, you know, a Destiny or Halo.
Yeah.
This isn't a game where you run at your enemy. It's a game where you take cover and you're super conservative about popping out.
Had the best cover system, that game.
Mm.
Like, they've always had, like, in my mind, the perfect cover system. Like,
yeah.
The snapping onto cover was perfect. The sound it made when you did it. The fact that, like, I mean, you needed to do it, otherwise you would be killed immediately. I think Gears of War had the perfect cover system.
But I think, like, where this game comes alive, and I saw it happen with Tegan, is that we went from that opening level because in the first level you start with hammer bursts, and no one likes hammer bursts in the original Gears. They got better.
By three, that would be great.
So, you know, getting through a lot of stopping, take cover, shoot at the bullet sponge enemies. It wasn't until the next level I had a chainsaw, a guy was right in front of Tegan, and I ran up from behind and was like, and she just went, what the hell is this? And how can I do it all the time?
Yeah.
And that's what Gears was to me the first time I played it. It was just like, it was just that level of extra grit that was just amazing.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I do think it holds up. It still has some great set pieces, great enemies, and just a really cool story. Like, meeting Baird and Cole again was great.
Yeah. Especially meeting Baird outside of his standalone game, which apparently exists.
It wasn't bad.
It was bad.
What about, I mean, you know, you sort of touched on it before. You play Gears 1, and it's remade and lovely. Do you then get the urge to play Gears 2 and find that because that hasn't been remade, it's lacking?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. Because on one hand, the cutscenes in this game beautiful, mm-hmm. totally redone. But at the same time, they've also redone all the faces a little. So,
Oh, to match what they look like in 3?
No, just to make them look different. Like, I mean, they just sort of like look slicker and... it's hard to describe. It's just slightly different animation style. Mm. So Marcus and Dom more or less look kind of how they used to. Mm. But it really threw me when we met up with Franklin, the stranded guy.
Yeah.
Just completely different face.
Yeah.
Really?
Completely different hairstyle. Just like looked different. I mean, like he was black and that was about the only similarity. So he, I guess, they probably just couldn't change that because otherwise the voice actor wouldn't match. Yeah. But like he may as well have been a completely different
Well, that's really weird.
Character. And Tegan obviously didn't care because it's the first time she's seeing him. But yeah. for someone who's played the game, it just really threw me.
I wonder why that decision was made.
And yeah, and so it made me wonder, well, you know what? Like, I wouldn't mind playing a slightly, like, or a not upgraded version of the future games because they already looked great and it's what I played. Like, it wasn't that long ago that I'm going to be like, oh, what even are these graphics, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the Halo Master Chief Collection, you know? Halo 3 wasn't as upgraded as Halo 2,
no, but that it disappointed
didn't, but it
me.
Didn't need to be.
But that disappointed me. Like, I remember when I didn't know what I was expecting to get.
But did you play it, though?
No, what?
Halo Master Chief Collection.
Well, no, I didn't play it, but...
see?
No, but it was still disappointing to see that they had upgraded 1 and 2, and then 3 was just...
But see,
3 was still pretty old.
I felt, I felt that until I played it, and it's just fine. It's totally fine. It works. And it's still in 60 frames per second, still looks, you know, all that stuff, if you care about that. I don't really.
No.
And it was fine, because it still looked great at the time, and it holds up. Like, I mean, I think that's just the reality of a lot of modern games. The ones... And I also think it makes you take for granted how great Gears looked in the first place.
Yeah,
the cutscenes still look great.
Very brown game.
Gears of War.
Yeah. Very brown.
Color palette.
I wouldn't say brown. I'd say gray. more bluey, sort of...
Gray.
Dark
bluey,
blues
gray.
And grays.
Reds. Yeah. Lovely,
great color chat, guys. Yeah. Great color chat.
Mauve.
Not much yellow.
Look, before we wrap up, I also just quickly want to say... Shut up. the multiplayer is fine. It's a Gears of War multiplayer, Gears of War 3 multiplayer, but you have all of the maps from all 19 maps from...
Oh, that's cool. Wait.
...the first game.
Wait, it's the Gears of War 3 multiplayer?
Well, it's that style of
okay,
multiplayer.
Okay, cool.
So that doesn't...
Are people playing it?
Yeah.
Sick, because that... Gears of War had, I think, one of my favourite multiplayers of any game I've ever played, and it no one's playing it anymore. So it's nice that... People are jumping on it.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
The one thing I'll say that is just really missing for me is Horde mode. Because there was no Horde mode in the first years.
Didn't come out to the same
And so it's just like, as much as I love this game, it's just made me crave going back and playing Gears 3 even more.
Because
Gears 3 to me was pinnacle Gears. Had great Horde mode, best campaign of all of them, 4-player co-op. Yeah.
Disagree about the campaign, but
just great.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom, but not everyone in this room played 500-plus hours of that game for a stupid achievement.
2,000-plus.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that was the first time I'd ever met you.
All
right. We were talking about that.
Okay, look, let's play some messages and then wrap up. Well, that brings us to the end of another show, Tom and Bardia. I'm sorry, guys. We've got to go. Thanks for coming on.
It's been such a wonderful evening.
Thank you for having us.
As always, people can follow us Facebook and Twitter, BigHeadMode2RRR, and our website, BigHeadMode.com.au, which is also the place you'll find out about Bonus Stage, our monthly gaming show. Our next one is coming up as part of Oz Comic Con Sydney.
Very exciting.
The 26th of September. We've got some awesome guests. We've got Senator Scott Ludlam to come and talk about the future of the games industry, how the Greens want to... you know, really promote growth in that field. Mm-hmm. And we have from Hook and playing the role of Prince Zuko in a little show I like to call Avatar Last Airbender. We've got Dante Basco coming on.
That's great.
Which is very Woo-hoo. Exciting.
That's so great.
Rufio.
And Oz Comic Con.
And at Oz Comic Con itself, we've got a panel as well, like a trivia panel. So if you're at Oz Comic Con, come say g'day, check it out, win some sweet prizes, some swag, hashtag YOLO.
Believe.
Oh, God. Look, I'm going to play you out with... This is Zeus. I've got a feeling your whole family is going down.
It scared me.
It did. This is by the 1UPs. We've been Big Head Mode. We'll see you guys next week. Up next is Curly with Accidentally Curly's Treat.
Bye.
Bye.